Experience the difference at Athens Bible School. The vision and purpose is to provide each student a quality education in a Christ-centered environment to develop the whole person spiritually, mentally, physically, and socially in safe and supportive surroundings. The solid biblical foundation permeates learning and culture in the classrooms and every extracurricular activity.
Family owned and operated for over 35 years, Catfish Cabin 2 is a family-friendly environment with a menu that caters to everyone. They have their famous catfish specialties as well as shrimp, steaks, chicken, salads, and their newest favorite, crab claws. Consistently great food and outstanding service, I encourage you to give them a try. Go to Catfish Cabin 2 in Athens, Alabama, located at 906 U.S. Highway 72 East. Find them on the web at athenscatfishcabin.com or give them a call at 256-233-0803. Booking for parties and meetings as well. That's Catfish Cabin 2 in Athens, Alabama.
Share the hush puppies.
If you like hickory smoked ribs that fall apart at the slightest pull, or barbecue shoulders that are so slow smoked each tender bite melts in your mouth, then you are going to love Baby Jack's Barbecue. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett and Arlington. Try the barbecue chicken, beef brisket sandwich, barbecue potato, it is huge, or the Baby Jack Trio, pork, turkey, or beef brisket sliders. You like wet ribs? They like dry ribs. Get one slab that has them both. Catering? Baby Jack's can feed a family or an army. Drive in, drive through, order online, or come in and set a minute. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett at Highway 70 in Appling, or in Arlington at Highway 70, just a block west of 385.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
Athens Bible School is accredited by Advance Ed, a member of the National Alliance of Concurrent Enrollment Partnerships, and is a satellite campus of Calhoun Community College. For more information, call 256-232-3525 or visit our website at athensbibleschool.org.
Hi, folks. This is Ricky Skaggs, and you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, this is Maggie Peterson. I played Charlene Darling on The Andy Griffith Show, and you are listening to The Mark White Show.
Hey, y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White.
Welcome to another edition of The Mark White Show. I am your host, Mark White, and right now we have a very special show for you. We're talking everything school resource officer. And to start the show, we're going to have Mo Kennedy, and he's the executive director of the National Association of School Resource Officers. Welcome to the Mark White Show, Mo.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate the opportunity and happy to be with you.
Well, it's such an important element of our community. And as you stated in your Make a Difference Minute, not just too many days ago, we talked about the connection between school resource officers, the schools, and the community, and the importance of that relationship. If you would, Mo, talk a little bit more about that.
Well, you know, that whole position should be based on the idea of it being community-based policing. You know, community-based law enforcement or community-based policing is something we should strive to do, you know, in every community from a law enforcement standpoint, but it's especially helpful in the school environment. So that we're approaching it from the idea of just like we should be about building relationships with the community outside of the school. This one then is focused on building relationships specifically within the school environment. But the really neat thing that occurs is as we do our job of building those relationships within that school community, it extends out into the full community as you get to know parents and other leaders within the community and other residents within the community. So it really is just a full-blown community-based policing approach.
Your background to be executive director of the National Association of School Resource Officers,
Tell us what that is.
Well, I actually served as a police officer with the city of Hoover, Alabama Police Department, for 25 years. About half of my career was dedicated to working with our school resource officers program. And really, it was really an absolutely wonderful time, a wonderful part of my career. I wish I could have done that for the entire 25 years. You know, it wasn't something that I immediately realized was going to be an area where I was gifted to work. But it didn't take long to figure out that when I got in there, it was exactly where I was supposed to be. And so, and a lot of SROs, they kind of have a similar story in terms of their work in schools. So we had a very still do have a thriving, effective SRO program here in the city of Hoover, where I used to work. And that led me into connecting with the National Association of School Resource Officers, first as a member, then as an instructor, then as a board member. And then in 2011, the executive director was getting ready to retire, and I was eligible for retirement from the police department. So I, after some encouragement, I decided to apply for the position, and the rest is history.
Very interesting. Probably a mutual friend of ours, Jamie Bryant, worked in the Hoover school system, believe school resource officer as well.
Yes, I know her very well, as well as her brother, Chris. He's also a school resource officer in the Hoover City schools.
As you alluded to in the Make a Difference Minute, some of it is misunderstood. There's a misconception about the role of school resource officers in our schools.
Yeah, there is. Well, there certainly can be a misconception. I think that we run into situations sometimes where folks think that we're putting officers in schools just to investigate crimes or just to be an armed guard, and those are not the case. You know, the foundation has to be community-based policing, relationship building has to start with that. We don't, you know, one of the things that we want to avoid as much as possible is having to make arrests in that school environment, especially arrests of students. So one of the things that we do is to take the approach that we partner with the school district from a standpoint of understanding that they're a great support element for us when we're working in that environment. We don't have to arrest students for things, all the things that we might have to arrest someone out on the street for. So there are other ways for the school to deal, you know, with certain behavior issues. And so it really, again, is a situation where we're there to build relationships, really do some solid community-based policing, and to help keep the school safe. You know, by building relationships, that's, some people might not realize that that's actually helping. It's another level of safety because when we've got good relationships, we're having good communication and we're getting good information that can help us to solve crimes and to stop acts of violence before they ever occur.
Now, many of us who are older and many listeners right now, they didn't have school resource officers in their schools, and there were a few things that came into play that put that into motion, and some schools were pretty quick to respond to have school resource officers placed in the schools, and some have not been so quick to respond. Let's talk about why school resource officers were put in the schools in the first place.
Well, I don't think there is one reason. I don't think we can reach out there and say there's just one reason. I think that there are some people that would like to really grab on to the school shooting phenomenon, which really grew in the mid to late 90s.
Right.
But it's more than just that. I think that, you know, even before that, we had officers work in schools. SROs have been around since the 1950s. In the 1980s and early 90s, folks during that period of time might have been more familiar with an officer in the school teaching the DARE program, or what they may have called a DARE officer. And so a lot of what has happened is that while some officers will still teach that DARE program, it has really transitioned from being just a DARE officer or just there to teach DARE to a more holistic kind of SRO program, or the officer operating in a lot more arenas than just teaching, you know, a curriculum. So that's one way that the officers were in there. And there's no doubt, there's no question that I can attach growth spurts to high-profile school shootings. It's very easy for me to go back to 1999 and say and to look at our training records and go, you know, we grew after Columbine and after Springfield, Oregon, and Paducah, Kentucky, all of those that happened there in the mid to late 90s. It's easy for me to go back to our 2013 and 14 training records and go, you know what, we grew after Sandy Hook. There's more SROs now. And obviously in the last, almost 2 years now, the growth has been explosive. And obviously, you know, we had the Parkland tragedy. We had the Santa Fe school shooting. We had the St. Mary's County school shooting that all kind of happened all together in that winter and spring of 2017. So, you know, there is that as well. So there are a lot of factors that play into this.
It takes a special personality, I believe, to be a school resource officer.
This is the most unique assignment in law enforcement, period. And I have challenged folks, not in an arrogant way, but I've challenged folks to share with me another assignment in law enforcement that's more unique than this. There's not one. And so it does take a unique person to do the job. I mean, if we think about some of the other assignments in law enforcement, you know, being an investigator, while a lot of officers may espouse to that idea of I want to be an investigator, it does take a unique person to do that job. To go investigate crime scenes, that takes a unique individual. Dealing with issues of cybercrime takes a unique individual. Dealing with, being an investigator of sex trafficking crimes takes a unique person. But again, being an SRO is the most unique assignment. One of the onus that's on any department and their supervisors is to make sure that they're making the correct selection, careful selection of the officer that they're going to assign to work in a school environment.
We're talking to Mo Kennedy right now. He is executive director of the National Association of School Resource Officers based in Hoover, Alabama, covering the entire country. And Mo is sharing with us about school resource officers, the importance of school resource officers in our schools, the relationship between the schools, the school resource officer, and the community. When we come back, we're going to talk about the National Association of School Resource Officers and the role that it plays in effectively helping our schools when it comes to that relationship and enhancing the ability of our school resource officers in our schools. I hope you'll stick with me. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
Experience the difference at Athens Bible School. The vision and purpose is to provide each student a quality education in a Christ-centered environment to develop the whole person spiritually, mentally, physically, and socially in safe and supportive surroundings. The solid biblical foundation permeates learning and culture in the classrooms and every extracurricular activity.
Is it time for a haircut? Give my friend Philip Butler at Southwind Barbershop a call. Located in the Foodland Shopping Center at 16041 Highway 72 in Rogersville, Alabama. You can call him at 256-247-5658. Make an appointment or just walk in. That's Southwind Barbershop in Rogersville, Alabama.
Located at 1207 East Forest Street behind CVS on Highway 31 in Athens, Suzanne's Bakery is open Tuesday 10 to 6, Wednesday 10 to 5:30, and Thursday and Friday morning from 6:30 until 6 in the evening. You can also place to-go orders for a meal or fresh baked dessert to enjoy with your family, or even have an event catered. Check out Suzanne's menu at suzannesbakery.com or give them a call at 256-232-8210.
Fresh baked.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Athens Bible School is accredited by Advance Ed, a member of the National Alliance of Concurrent Enrollment Partnerships, and is a satellite campus of Calhoun Community College. For more information, call 256-232-3525 or visit our website at athensbibleschool.org.
And we're back. You're listening to The Mark White Show. I am your host, Mark White, and we have a special edition of The Mark White Show today because we're talking specifically about school resource officers, talking about SROs in our schools. We're talking about the relationship between SROs, the community, the schools, and the students, of course. And NASRO, the National Association of School Resource Officers, does play an important role in that. NASRO is based in Hoover, Alabama. The executive director, Mo Kennedy, he is on the program right now. Welcome back to the Mark White Show, Mo.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, you talked about your experience working for the Hoover Police Department and then becoming part of the National Association of School Resource Officers, and you are the executive director. Tell us about NASRO and what your organization does to help school resource officers and all the other elements we've talked about.
Well, NASRO is approaching 30 years being an association, a not-for-profit association that really is designed to support the role of school resource officers. It also is designed to help school administrators embrace this role and understand this role. So all of our membership, all of our events, our training is open not only to school resource officers, but anybody in school-based policing and anyone really in the whole school security industry, certainly doing include school administrators. And we have membership services. Our membership is open to all the folks that I just mentioned. And we have currently well over 10,000 members. we train all over the country pretty much, as well as internationally. We have a basic SRO course that's a 40-hour course, and this really is for an officer that's about to go work in a school. Is the course that prepares them before they step into the school day one. And then we have a variety of other advanced training courses that, you know, we really firmly realize that training for school resource officers is an ongoing thing. One training course doesn't get it. You need all the training you can get to work in this environment and to really work with young folks in that regard. So very important that training continues. We also run a large national conference every year. We were in Tennessee this past summer, and we had about 2,200 attendees. We're going to be in Dallas, Texas in July, expecting another large gathering of attendees. So we're a busy bunch. We also do a lot of advocacy work. We're in Washington, D.C. a good bit. Very engaged there in a variety of ways. Again, just really advocating for SROs and for the role and for it being done properly.
Now, Mo, I'm going to tell you, I'm 40 years old, and I went to police academy in 2000. So 20 years ago this year, I was in police academy. Things change, and as you talk about with training, we have kids in our schools, and I'm good at Facebook. I do use Instagram and sometimes Twitter, but there are so many social media applications. There's so many things that are changing, and as school resource officers, they have to be able to adapt to what the young people are doing and how they're connecting so that they can be the best SRO they can possibly be.
And there are a lot of things that are changing. I was in the police academy in 1986, so I get it. But just issues around social media, obviously, technology did not exist in the capacity it does in 1986. So it's changed a lot for me, but it changes constantly. It is an ongoing battle, if you will, in terms of how to deal with that issue, whether it's at home, anywhere else out in our society, but in schools. It impacts schools tremendously. So SROs have to have constant training on that issue. The issue of sex trafficking, I kind of mentioned that earlier. That's really beginning to hit home with us as SROs as our students become victims, become targets of you know, really a heinous crime, quite frankly. So we've got that needs constant updates. We need constant updates on school legal issues. You know, we need SROs to understand what the limits are in terms of what they can do in schools legally. I could go on and on. We add new blocks all the time to our training. One that we're really focused on is the issue of understanding the adolescent brain. We want to help SROs be able to de-escalate incidents. And the more we understand the adolescent brain, the more that helps. Understanding issues around implicit bias, which quite frankly is a bit of a new topic for me. But as we're learning more about that, I think that's a very helpful thing for SROs to have a good understanding of. So it really is a constant updating process in terms of how to stay effective in working with youth.
Share what implicit bias is.
Well, you know, and it's an interesting thing, and I think that the best way for me to share it is not so much by what the definition is that's in front of us, but kind of my own experiences around that. And this is a simple one. This is a really simple one. I remember I travel a lot now, I fly a lot, and I remember the first time I got on a plane, it was a few years ago. And you know how when you sit down in your seat and you get buckled in and you're all set to go, and the pilot or the co-pilot usually comes across the PA and welcomes you and all those kind of things. Well, you know, for years sitting there, it had always been a male voice. I remember the first time I heard a female voice, and I was like, oh, wow. and it's like, well, and I had to kind of slow myself down for a minute and go, you know what? Why can't a woman be a pilot? it's kind of like there's an old story that goes around, and it's with, we actually use it in our implicit bias piece about the child that's injured, and the doctor, is about, the surgeon's about to tend to him, and everybody's got this concept that they say it's their parent, and so everybody's immediately thinking, well, it's their dad. Well, no, it's the mom, and so just those kind of roles. That's a simple one. That's kind of almost a benign one. Yeah, I mean, right now, when I fly now, that's not even a thought in my head. I've been on flights where both the pilot and co-pilot have been female. So, it's not even something I think about anymore, but it's a good thing to use to describe how we all have these stereotypical images of who fits what square peg fits in what square hole, and it's just rarely the case. And so helping officers understand those things that can be, almost out in their peripheral vision that they're not thinking about consciously, it's almost a subconscious thing. If we're able to at least understand those processes, then when we come up against a situation with a student that is, in a world that we're unfamiliar with, makes it a little easier for us to maybe attempt to empathize a little bit and get to know that student better. So that I hope that makes sense.
It does. One of the challenges, I think, that especially in rural communities, is having the funds to be able to have a school resource officer. And that's been a challenge for places that I've been as a police officer, where you might have an officer come in on a particular day of the week, and that's when he can come to the school. But he has to go to various schools throughout a county. And, you know, that can be a challenge. And I know communities want school resource officers. They want officers that will be there on a consistent basis. And I know that that's probably one of the things that you address as an organization, because there are communities who are shorthanded, if you will, when it comes to being able to have a school resource officer or officers in each school.
It's a tremendous issue. There's no question about it. And I appreciate you bringing this up, because I'm happy to be able to inform your listeners that almost 3 weeks ago, the COPS office from the U.S. Department of Justice sent out an announcement regarding their COPS hiring program, referred to as the CHIP program, CHP. And this is these are grants to hire full-time sworn officers for state, local, and tribal law enforcement agencies. And so this provides funds directly to those agencies to hire new officers or rehire existing law enforcement officers. And this is about community-based policing. And I can tell you, my understanding on this is that for folks who are applying for these grants, preference is going to be given to those who are considering hiring folks for school resource officers. So that's, you know, it's a 3-year program. So that's, you know, that's 3 years of funding for that officer, so that at least helps a community get started. It's very competitive, certainly, but if you don't apply, one thing's for sure, you won't get the award. And the applications are due by March 11th, and they don't play around with those deadlines. It's, you know, close of business on March 11th. If you don't have your application in, you're not going to have that opportunity.
Sounds like having a good grant writer would be important in that in that world.
Well, having a grant writer is always helpful, or at least having connections to one. It doesn't seem to me that these CHIP grants are overly complicated grants to write. Yes, there are some writing skills that are needed, but I don't want anyone to be afraid of it. Yes, anytime you're dealing with federal funds, there's layers of you know, what we refer to as bureaucracy there. There's red tape. All of that exists, certainly, to make sure that things are being done properly. But again, it's certainly worth the effort. Again, it's I think it was Wayne Gretzky that said, "You miss every shot you don't take." So, I encourage people to consider doing this. If you just search COPS office, COPS, COPS office, it's the Office of Community Oriented Policing Services. Just Google that, and that'll get you to the website.
I'm glad you addressed that, because there is a fear a lot of times when people hear the word grant, they're like, "Oh no, I've got to go through these hoops." And as you say, it does take effort, but there are some grants that are more difficult to write than others. And if you keep it in the law enforcement world, we're just trying to find SROs for our schools. And if that can be done in a fairly simple way, that's really an outstanding thing to be able to do. When we as we close out, talk about how people can connect with NASRO, schools, law enforcement communities, for the National Association of School Resource Officers.
Well, one of the great ways to introduce yourself to our association and allow ourselves to introduce ourselves to you is if you can make it to one of our national conferences. And we do those all over the country. We make them very regional. I mentioned we'll be in Dallas this summer, this July. The following year, we're in Orlando. The year after that, we're in Denver. So we're in some nice, attractive locations. And if you can get to one of those and come to one of our conferences, you'll learn very quickly, within a week, what this is all about. The other way is certainly by visiting our website, which is still a work in project process. It's a brand new website. I think I mentioned earlier, and at nasro.org, nasro.org. And so that's a way to find out a little bit more about who we are and what we do. Also, if you are a law enforcement officer who has been assigned to work in a school environment and you haven't been trained, you need to come take the training. It's inexpensive. It is not expensive at all. We do classes all over the country, and it will be well worth your time to spend a week with us to learn how to better do this job.
We've been talking to Mo Kennedy. He is the executive director of the National Association of School Resource Officers. You can also find them on Facebook, National Association of School Resource Officers, or NASRO, N-A-S-R-O. Mo, thank you for joining me here on the Mark White Show today and sharing this very important information. You're always welcome back.
Thank you, Mark. I really enjoyed it. It's very nice talking with you.
Folks, that was Mo Kennedy, executive director of the National Association of School Resource Officers. When we come back, and we're going to talk about the actual boots on the ground in the school. Be glad to have Stanley McNatt from Athens Bible School on the program. I hope you'll stick with us. You're listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White. This is Mark White from The Mark White Show, and I want you to partner with me. If your business or organization would like to be a sponsor of The Mark White Show, send me an email to themarkwhiteshow@gmail.com. If you would like to be an individual sponsor of The Mark White Show, go to patreon.com/themarkwhiteshow. Patreon is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Partner with The Mark White Show today, and let's make a difference in our communities together. We're pleased to announce that the 5th Annual Casting and Catching Tournament will be taking place April 25th, 2020 at Goose Pond Colony Resort at Lake Gunnersville. To date, over $500,000 has been raised from Casting and Catching to the Pediatric and Congenital Heart Center of Alabama. The Mark White Show is a proud sponsor of this year's Casting and Catching Tournament, and I hope you'll make the decision to be a part of this special effort as well. If you would like to register, you can go to castingandcatching.org. That's CastinCatching.org. You can also follow Casting and Catching on Facebook. Thank you for your support.
Located at 1207 East Forest Street behind CVS on Highway 31 in Athens, Suzanne's Bakery is open Tuesday 10 to 6, Wednesday 10 to 5:30, and Thursday and Friday morning from 6:30 until 6 in the evening. You can also place to-go orders for a meal or fresh baked dessert to enjoy with your family, or even have an event catered. Check out Suzanne's menu at suzannesbakery.com or give them a call at 256-232-8210.
Fresh baked.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Athens Bible School is accredited by Advance Ed, a member of the National Alliance of Concurrent Enrollment Partnerships, and is a satellite campus of Calhoun Community College. For more information, call 256-232-3525. Or visit our website at athensbibleschool.org.
Red and yellow and pink and green, purple and orange and blue. I can sing rainbow to you. Listen to your eyes, listen to your eyes.
You can
sing a rainbow.
Sing along with me.
we're back. You're listening to the Mark White Show right now. I have with me Stanley McNatt. He's a school resource officer, been in law enforcement 40-plus years. He's working on his second year now at Athens Bible School, had his first anniversary in January. We've been talking about school resource officers and how important it is when it comes to the schools. You heard Mo Kennedy. We just talked to him with the National Association of School Resource Officers. I wanted to introduce Stanley to the program because he is boots on the ground here at Athens Bible School as a school resource officer. Welcome to the Mark White Show, Stanley.
Thank you, Mark.
You were an investigator for a long time. Then the opportunity came about for you to be a school resource officer here at Athens Bible School. What has been your experience so far as an SRO?
If I'd have known this job was going to be this enjoyable and rewarded, I'd have retired a long time ago if I could have got this job. This is just it's a very rewarding job working here at the Bible School, being a resource officer here at the Bible School, and being around the students, the faculty, and the staff. It's overwhelming sometimes. The closeness that you develop with the students and with the faculty and the staff.
At the same time, you also have to think about the potential for danger.
Absolutely.
You have to consider the students and what they're going through in their life, and teachers, and the entire campus is something that you have to be very watchful over.
You do. That's the first and foremost thing that's in the forefront of your mind constantly, is the safety and the welfare of the students, as well as the faculty and staff here. You know, sometimes people may look upon the police as being inside a school and say, well, especially the young students, older students even more so, thinking, well, they're just here to try to arrest some of us. And that's not the case at all. If need be, that would probably, certainly, absolutely happen. But that's not our primary concern, is to here to arrest somebody. Our primary concern is for the safety and well-being of everyone here on the campus.
You just alluded to something that Mo alluded to just a few minutes ago on his segment, that it's not about arresting. It's more about building relationships and building a trust between law enforcement, the school administration, the teachers, and the students.
Building that bond and that trust is so important as a school resource officer, not only here, but for all school resource officers, having that trust. When you can develop that bond, especially with the student body, that they feel comfortable with you and feel that they can come and tell you anything. And that's what we want them to do. We want all the students to do, not only here, but elsewhere. That helps us tremendously in the job that we're trying to do. They may overhear a conversation themselves, and letting someone know, whether it's a faculty, staff, or an SRO, could be very important in maybe having to deter something that may be building up.
Well, and I commend Athens Bible School for taking the step to bring in two school resource officers to Athens Bible School. For a private school, some might say, well, why do you need one at a private school?
And even more so with some private schools now, you think, in recent events, of instances that have happened in other places, you never know what the target may be of somewhere. But when you have a private school, you know, that could be just a bigger target to someone that's potentially wanting to harm somebody or make a name for themselves as any major public school.
Ultimately, people who come to the campus need to feel safe and secure. If there is somebody walking around, that somebody's going to take the initiative to go and say, can I help you?
Absolutely. That's something that Athens Bible School students themselves will come up. If they see somebody in the parking lot, maybe that's pulled in and has a legitimate reason, but if they notice, if they're walking from class to class and maybe look out the door and see something, they're really good about letting someone know that, where it can be investigated and say, what's your purpose here? 99% of the time it's legitimate, but you always got that 1% of the time that you got to be prepared. You got to be on your toes.
As an investigator, how many cases did you solve because somebody gave you information that was helpful to the case?
Numerous, too many to count. And then that's always that one thing that you may be looking for, whether it be in a criminal investigation or even as an SRO, that one piece of information that you may need, somebody may see or know that can share that with you, can be very instrumental in either deterring something from happening or solving something that may have already taken place that you need some information about here at school.
I just finished up a summit down in Montgomery, Alabama on Friday, and that summit was the Alabama Human Trafficking Task Force Summit. One of the messages that they conveyed to the audience was, see something, say something.
Absolutely. That's so important this day and time, if you do see something, to say something, especially with what you just alluded to there about the summit you just attended. With the resources that's out there now, the technology that's available, even for our young people, there's dangers involved that go along with that. Something that can seem so innocent can turn out to be devastating.
This is your second year at Hathens Bible School. Your son's here as well?
Yes, sir.
Daniel McNatt. Building that relationship over this past year, what has been established here at Hathens Bible School for you and Daniel?
Building that relationship with the students is so important. Not only building that relationship as a them seeing your presence here and being in a uniform, especially with the young pre-K, kindergarten, first and second graders, these elementary children, taking up the time to speak and to talk and with these children, and then let them know, hey, you're someone that you can talk to. If something happens and you need to talk, you need something, don't be scared of the police officers.
Yes.
Go to that police officer. And that has helped so much. It's amazing that these youngsters are so loving and caring, and they want to come up to you, and they, after they get to know you, they want to give you a high five or a fist bump or whatever, and it's just, it's special. And we want that sense of security to carry forward, not only here on campus, but any time they see a law enforcement officer, especially the youngsters, you know, not to be afraid of that person. We want to develop that relationship with them to let them know, hey, we want to build trust between them, and we want that trust to go both ways.
I like that. And I want to say to you, Stanley, I appreciate your service as a law enforcement officer, this 40-plus years that you've served, and your commitment here at Hathens Bible School as a school resource officer, and your son Daniel's as well. You found an opportunity to continue to make a difference as a law enforcement officer and to use your experience. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. And I also want to thank Mr. Adams, the president and the principal here at Hathens Bible School, when he came to me and approached me with the idea about, hey, we're going to be moving. We want school resource officers. It didn't take me long to make up my mind if we could make this work that I wanted to do it. I thank him and Ms. Hagewood and Coach Duke and all the people here at Bible School for giving me the opportunity. It's just so good to be here.
Glad to get to talk to you today, Stanley McNatt, here at Hathens Bible School, school resource officer, along with his son, Daniel. Thank you for being here on the Mark White Show today, Stanley.
Thank you for having me.
When we come back, we're going to have the Make a Difference Minute replay. I hope you'll stick with me. You're listening to the Mark White Show, and I am your host, Mark White.
I love those dear hearts and gentle people who live in my hometown, because those dear hearts and gentle people will never ever let you down.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
We're pleased to announce that the 5th Annual Casting and Catching Tournament will be taking place April 25th, 2020 at Goose Pond Colony Resort at Lake Gunnersville. To date, over $500,000 has been raised from Casting and Catching to the Pediatric and Congenital Heart Center of Alabama. The Mark White Show is a proud sponsor of this year's Casting and Catching Tournament, and I hope you'll make the decision to be a part of this special effort as well. If you would like to register, you can go to castingandcatching.org. That's CastinCatching.org. You can also follow Casting and Catching on Facebook. Thank you for your support. Welcome to the Make a Difference Minute replay from the Mark White Show. Here we play Make a Difference Minute segments from the past week as we try to make a difference in the lives of others. Welcome to another Make a Difference Minute from the Mark White Show. Right now, I'm in Montgomery, Alabama. We've been at the 6th annual Alabama Human Trafficking Summit. Right now, I'm with David Pinkleton. Welcome to the Make a Difference Minute, David.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here, Mark.
Tell us your role when it comes to the Alabama Human Trafficking Task Force.
Sure. I'm actually the fundraising chair with the Alabama Human Trafficking Task Force. Also do a lot of the website, the public relations, and the social media. And I had the privilege of helping to co-host this year's annual Human Trafficking Summit. We just want to raise awareness that unfortunately human trafficking is happening in the state of Alabama, but there are individuals in law enforcement, nonprofit world, social service providers, attorneys that are actually working to make a difference to not only stop this crime, but prosecute the individuals who are perpetrating it as well.
If people want to be a part of this effort, where do they go?
They can go to our website, enditalabama.org, where they can learn the facts. And they can also follow us on social media at Ended Alabama as well on Facebook and Twitter.
Be a part of Ended Alabama. You've been listening to another Make a Difference Minute. If you have a suggestion for the Make a Difference Minute, send it to mark.white@wlxonline.com. Be sure to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
Athens Bible School is accredited by Advance Ed, a member of the National Alliance of Concurrent Enrollment Partnerships, and is a satellite campus of Calhoun Community College. For more information, call 256-232-3525 or visit our website at athensbibleschool.org.
Welcome to another Make a Difference Minute from the Mark White Show. On this Make a Difference Minute, we have Dixie Shannon, peer advocate for the Well House. Dixie is a survivor of human trafficking.
I was trafficked when I was 17. I was a minor. Maybe some people knew what was going on, but they didn't know how to help me. I think it's important for a survivor to not only have the resources available, but to see everybody work as a unity and as a team. It's important to know that your state is behind you, supporting you all throughout the journey. One of the biggest reasons why a lot of victims are trafficked is because they're not being watched and they're not being taken care of. They don't have that accountability. Speaking from my experience, having a state behind me, supporting me along my journey, has been an incredible impact and inspiration in my life, and watching everybody work together is huge. I also feel like having more resources and more education, more awareness, and not feeling afraid to venture outside of the state to even find out what other people are doing to make sure that we're doing the right thing, getting into the schools and more resources for children. I think that we need shelters, more places for children to go to whenever they're being trafficked. If we can get it as when they're 17 years old, we can stop it from happening when they're 25.
If you would like to find out more about the Well House or any organization that's fighting human trafficking, go to enditalabama.org or email enditalabama@gmail.com. You can also find Endit Alabama on Facebook. If you have a suggestion for the Make a Difference Minute, send it to mark.white@wlxonline.com. Be sure to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today. Today's Make a Difference Minute is sponsored by Greens Dependable Hardware, located in Russellville, Alabama. Give them a call at 256-331-0123. Find them on the web at greensdependablehardware.com. Find them on Facebook at Greens Dependable Hardware. Greens Dependable Hardware, hometown folks and hometown service.
Welcome to another Make a Difference Minute from the Mark White Show. On this Make a Difference Minute, I wanted to talk about Landon Godsey. Landon had a group of special visitors yesterday from the police academy. They brought him some goodies to Children's Hospital, and he's recovering well. The doctors are very pleased with Landon's progress. What I wanted to talk about was a new fundraiser that's been organized to help Landon have a new home when he comes back to Lawrence County, Alabama. His relatives have organized this fundraiser in hopes that they can have a new home for Landon when he arrives back to Lawrence County, Alabama. You can help support this effort by going to GoFundMe.com/newhomeforLandon. Landon is spelled L-A-N-D-E-N. Put a hyphen between each word, new home for Landon, and you can support this special effort for Landon, a new home, when he gets home from Children's Hospital in Birmingham, Alabama. Again, follow Pray for Landon on Facebook and support this family in their efforts. This 7-year-old has lost both of his parents, and we want to help this family as much as we can, help Landon and his sister, Allie, as well. If you have a suggestion looking for a Make a Difference Minute, send it to mark.white@wlxonline.com. Be sure to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. This is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
Go see my friends Patricia and Stephanie at Styles by Stephanie in Arab, Alabama, located between Morgan City and Arab at 10047 Highway 231. Give them a call at 256-200-1923. Open Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. until. That's Styles by Stephanie in Arab, Alabama. Walk-ins are welcome. Give them a call at 256-200-1923.
Welcome to another Make a Difference Minute from The Mark White Show. On this Make a Difference Minute, I have Ruben Alvarez from Greenville, South Carolina. Some of you saw on The Mark White Show Facebook page, Ruben Alvarez was standing upright in a wheelchair on his daughter's wedding day. It was a very special video. I asked Ruben to share an encouraging message with you today.
Everybody has a disability. It's just that mine is easier to see. A lot of people who are quote-unquote able-bodied have the disabilities that are easy to hide, that no one sees. What really matters is what's on the inside and how that shines through. And number two, I have every reason in the world to throw a pity party if I were to look at my life just from a disabled point of view and a negative one, because it's a struggle for me sometimes to get out of bed. But I do it because I believe that I have a plan and a purpose for my life. As I'm doing that, my challenge to people is, what are your dreams and what are your aspirations and what's holding you back? If a person like me, who's in a chair, who has mobility issues, who is slightly dyslexic, has all these challenges, if I can still do what I am doing, then what's your excuse?
If you have a suggestion for the Make a Difference Minute, send it to mark.white@wlxonline.com. Be sure to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
Hey, everybody, this is Paul Overstreet, and you are listening to The Mark White Show. Stay tuned, because Mark is doing some things on his show that's helping community and uplifting people. So you stay with him.
Welcome to another Make a Difference Minute from The Mark White Show. Right now, I have with me Brett Kissel, musician, singer, songwriter, and he has an encouraging message to share with you today.
Hey, it's me, Brett Kissel, and yes, I'm a part of the Make a Difference Minute, and I grew up in Canada, but I live in Nashville now, and I'm using my platform as a country music artist, singer, songwriter, entertainer to do as much good in the world that I possibly can. At Christmas time, we raised $200,000 for veterans in need, and it's very, very important to pass on this message to each and every one of you. Make a difference today for veterans, for anyone in your community. Help out wherever you can. There's causes across the United States and around the world that you can support, and there's people that are down and out that you can lend a hand to, you can smile at, you can shake their hand, you can give them a hug. Even that can help. So make a difference today for those people in your inner circle and your outer circle. Make your community a better place. If you'd love to connect with me, I would love to engage in conversation on my social media pages, Instagram at Brett Kissel, Facebook Brett Kissel Music, Twitter at Brett Kissel, or just visit my website, brettkissel.com, and come see a show.
We appreciate Brett Kissel joining us here on the Make a Difference Minute today. Kissel is spelled K-I-S-S-E-L. If you have a suggestion for the Make a Difference Minute, send it to mark.white@wlxonline.com. Be sure to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
Well, you can't hold a hummingbird.
Bye.
Located in Tuscumbia, Alabama, the Alabama Music Hall of Fame honors Alabama's music achievers. You can even go into the recording studio and try out your talents as a singer. That's the Alabama Music Hall of Fame, located at 617 Highway 72 West in Tuscumbia, Alabama. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Give them a call at 256-381-4417. Check them out on the web at alamhof.org. Welcome to another Make a Difference Minute from The Mark White Show. As part of my human trafficking series, I have Sarah Laster with Budding Hope Ministries.
My name is Sarah Laster. I am the co-founder and executive director of Budding Hope Ministries. We began in order to provide hope to victims and survivors of domestic minor sex trafficking in the Tennessee Valley. According to the United States Institute Against Human Trafficking, there are 100,000 American children caught in sexual exploitation and human trafficking at any given moment. Our vision is to provide survivor-driven care in a safe, Christ-centered environment to help recover and fully restore the lives of those rescued from human trafficking. These are our kids, and every single one of them deserves a chance. If you would like to help or learn more about what we are doing, visit our website, buddinghopeministries.org. If you may be a victim of human trafficking or know someone who is, please call 1-888-373-7888. Or text HELP to 233-733.
Be sure to follow Budding Hope Ministries on Facebook. You can also find them on the web at buddinghopeministries.org or give them a call at 256-607-3334. If you have a suggestion for a Make a Difference Minute, send it to mark.white@wlxonline.com. Be sure to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
Family owned and operated for over 35 years, Catfish Cabin 2 is a family-friendly environment with a menu that caters to everyone. They have their famous catfish specialties as well as shrimp, steaks, chicken, salads, and their newest favorite, crab claws. Consistently great food and outstanding service, I encourage you to give them a try. Go to Catfish Cabin 2 in Athens, Alabama, located at 906 U.S. Highway 72 East. Find them on the web at athenscatfishcabin.com or give them a call at 256-233-0803. Booking for parties and meetings as well. That's Catfish Cabin 2 in Athens, Alabama.
Share the hush puppies.
Hi, this is Kathy Matea, and you're listening to The Mark White Show, where you can learn to make a difference in your community while you have a great time listening to interesting people talk to Mark.
Welcome to another Make a Difference Minute from The Mark White Show. On this Make a Difference Minute, we have Brandy Taylor from Tulsa, Oklahoma, sharing about Wear Red Awareness.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Wear Red began in 2005. An Army mom tried to take this awareness nationwide. Instead, if we can wear for our football teams, we ought to be able to wear for the men and women who shed the blood for their countries, which is why the color is red. My son joined in 2017, and to honor him, I was given a Wear Red shirt to remember everyone deployed, which I had never even heard of this awareness. We decided to get behind it, and we've been able to get 43 high schools to do Red Out Nights for us to bring this awareness to everybody's attention. We've gotten 36 proclamations done to make it National Red Day all over in different counties. Wear Red is an ongoing awareness that you can be a part of. You can join in and get on our website, or you can reach us on Facebook to be a part of this awareness as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook. Rocking Cactus Designs, ROCKING. Cactus, CACTUS, Designs, DESIGNS, or we have a website, which is rockingcactusdesigns.com. We have several different shirts on there as well. We have what's called faith-driven military pride wear, and we have all different kinds of styles, and then we have several of the Wear Red also on that.
Thank you, Brandy Taylor. If you have a suggestion for a Make a Difference Minute, send it to mark.white@wlxonline.com. Be sure to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is Mark White.
And this is Cora White.
Encouraging you
to find your purpose
by making a difference
in someone's life
today.
Today.
located at 1207 East Forest Street behind CVS on Highway 31 in Athens. Suzanne's Bakery is open Tuesday 10 to 6, Wednesday 10 to 5:30, and Thursday and Friday morning from 6:30 until 6 in the evening. You can also place to-go orders for a meal or fresh baked dessert to enjoy with your family, or even have an event catered. Check out Suzanne's menu at suzannesbakery.com or give them a call at 256-232-8210.
Fresh baked.
If you see what's wrong and you try to make it right, you will be a point of light. If you see